This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and once again we begin with healthcare. Just one day after the president outlined the parameters of what he would like to see in a final healthcare reform bill, Democrats and Republicans taking off the gloves and going after each other, even while the final passage of the bill still remains up in the air. For the most part, Democrats and Republicans agree that the president's package looks a lot like the Senate version, which passed on Christmas Eve, with a few more changes, including the president's call for the government to have control over how much, if at all, insurance premiums will be allowed to rise. Today, speaking on MSNBC, Democratic National Committee Chairman Tim Kaine says the president is making a good-faith effort to reach out to Republicans in order to improve this bill, but he says cooperation is a two-way street.
Well, it's never a failure for the president to reach out to the other side to hear their ideas. That's always a good thing. What the American people want to see is the two parties committed to working together. And thus far, the president has been doing heavy lifting with the Democratic Party, with the Republicans largely deciding to vote no to everything. But he's going to continue to extend the hand. That's what Americans want to see.
In that same appearance, the former governor of Virginia, Tim Kaine, now the Democratic Party chairman, says that he is not going to entertain, and neither will the president, Republican calls to start this process over from the beginning.
When I hear the start from scratch, it doesn't strike me as earnest advice. It's more like, you know, Dr. Kevorkian giving you health care advice. I mean, they don't want to start from scratch. They want to vote no. If they have ideas, let's hear the ideas. Start from scratch isn't an idea. Start from scratch isn't a solution.
Republicans disagreeing with that assessment widely. In two interviews with me, we heard from one senator and one congressman as to why the Republicans are taking the position they are. First of all, Nebraska Republican Senator Mike Johanns says that the president is being disingenuous here. Why would you roll out your final version of a bill 3 days before you're supposedly meeting to air the ideas of both parties in order to move towards a final package? Johanns says the president and the Democrats in Congress are also not inviting much Republican cooperation when they're already promising to use the reconciliation tactic, which the GOP says is just ramming this down the throat of Republicans and the American people. Johanns says the president can go a long way down the bipartisan road by making one simple promise on Thursday.
There's a simple way of ending that debate and making me be quiet and everybody else be quiet about reconciliation. And that is just for the president to start the meeting this week and say, look, I want to be very, very clear. Reconciliation is not an option to pass health care.
But even if the whole thing were to be scrapped, could Republicans and Democrats agree on their key priorities? No, according to Louisiana Republican Congressman Bill Cassidy. He says there's a fundamental disagreement on how this idea ought to be approached, and Republicans and Democrats have very different ideas.
There's a very fundamental difference between the two parties, and that cannot be bridged. One is that the Democratic plan is very bureaucratic, Washington-centric. The Republican alternatives are more patient-centric between the patient and her physician.
To hear those entire interviews with Senator Johanns as well as Congressman Cassidy, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also catch my interview with Burke Balch of the National Right to Life Committee, who says the president's call for government control over the rates of insurance premiums means rationing is inevitable. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org to hear his explanation of why rationing is in our future if the Obama plan becomes law. In other news, the Senate is moving forward on its jobs bill. That's thanks to a handful of Republicans who crossed over and broke a Republican filibuster, including the brand-new senator from Massachusetts, Scott Brown. In my conversation with Senator Johanns, he says he just can't see how this bill is going to do any good.
It's just going to be very, very negligible. It's like taking $18 billion, carrying it to the top of the Capitol, and letting it fly and hoping it lands somewhere. But I don't see that you're going to see a net benefit here or a net positive impact.
Again, the full interview with Senator Johanns, worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. On to the war on terror now, and Secretary of Defense Robert Gates also speaking out and apologizing to the Afghan people for the airstrike in recent days that was supposed to be taking out Taliban forces but unintentionally killed 27 civilians. Secretary Gates says this is something we desperately try to avoid, but he says it's increasingly difficult as the Taliban uses the regular population as human shields.
We are doing everything possible. General McChrystal is doing everything humanly possible to avoid civilian casualties. But it is also a fact that the Taliban mingle with civilians. They use them for cover, which obviously complicates any decision process by a commander on the ground.
Also, you may remember that back in August, the Scottish government released the one man convicted of the Lockerbie bombing from back in 1988, which killed 270 people, including 170 Americans. That's because Ali al-Megrahi was supposed to die in 3 months. Well, that supposed deadline ended 3 months ago, and now 6 months after his release by the Scottish government, without much objection from the American government either, it's now reported that Megrahi is living large in a villa with his family, although it is still reported that he is ill with prostate cancer. Not good enough for the families of those killed back in December of 1988, including Brian Flynn, who lost his brother on Pan Am 103. He says this release was a huge mistake and the Americans did very little to stop it.
And it was inconvenient for the United States, which is most tragic. Everyone's been trying to get the Lockerbie thing to just go away. And everyone was saying, hey, wouldn't it be better if he didn't die in prison? If we had the terrorists that it just all just went away. And I think that our responsibility, not only to honor the victims, but also as a society, is to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Flynn appeared on MSNBC, as did Bert Ammerman, who also lost his brother on Pan Am 103. He was much more blunt in his language, saying this was all about oil.
Megrahi was clearly released for oil and big business. Shame on the United Kingdom and shame on our own government. We have to wake up. This is the new form of war. Conventional war does not work against the United States. What does work, and the third world nations know, is terrorist action. And when you release the likes of Megrahi, what you're saying to the third world countries, the leaders of Iran, Afghanistan, and Iraq, you've beaten the United States, you're beating the United Kingdom, keep it up.
Elsewhere today, congressional hearings beginning into the defects in Toyota products that have led to massive recalls and a lot of concern here in Washington and around the world about the safety of the Toyota line. Among the victims testifying today, Rhonda Smith, who described the terror of her car taking off without her being able to stop it.
I put the car into all available gears, including neutral, but then I put it in reverse, and it remains in reverse as the car speeds to over 100 miles per hour down the interstate. I placed both feet on the brake after I firmly engaged the emergency brake, and nothing slows the car. I figured the car was going to go its maximum speed, and I was going to have to put the car into the upcoming guardrail in order to prevent killing anyone else.
Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz says Toyota executives will be testifying tomorrow, and he says while their statements have been good, he wants to know what actions they plan to pursue.
Well, I want to know dollar for dollar what they plan to do about it, because we got millions of people who are driving those products. You have hundreds of thousands of people here in the United States that are employed or indirectly or directly by Toyota, and so it's a deep concern. And so it's as much about taking some personal responsibility, which it sounds like he's doing in his statement, but what are they going to do about it? And that's what we hope to get some more answers about tomorrow.
A couple of members of Congress under fire for comments they have made on different subjects, one from each side of the aisle. First of all, Vermont Socialist Senator, actually an independent, Bernie Sanders, is comparing climate change skeptics to those who disregarded the Nazi threat in America back in the 1930s, saying, quote, "It reminds me of an event that took place in this country and around the world in the late 1930s. During that period of Nazism and fascism's growth, a real danger to this country and democratic countries around the world, there were people in this country and in the British Parliament who said, don't worry, Hitler's not real. It'll disappear." And while many are outraged at Sanders for comparing skepticism towards global warming to denying the Nazi threat back in the 1930s, some on the left are taking aim at Iowa Congressman Steve King for his comment, which they claim was supportive of the man who flew his plane into the Austin, Texas IRS building last week. Here's the actual comment from King, quote, "As a founder of a small business who has endured IRS audits, I understand the deep frustration with the IRS. In the early days, my company could not run without me on the job. I once had to shut it down just to be in the room with the IRS. I did not get a fair shake, but I channeled my frustration the American way and ran for office. Americans looking for an outlet for their frustration should join me in calling on Congress to pass a national sales tax and abolish the current federal tax code and the IRS." One Democratic aide called King's remarks, quote, "A disgusting attempt to justify a domestic suicide attack." That's a look at today's stories. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.